Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about knowing the truth, which makes us free from the belief in mortality. In this show, we will discuss exactly what an erroneous belief is, based on this, from John 1, 3 to 5. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. End of the verse. Listen as we explain the divine self as the new frontier with spiritual truth as the new gold. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and know the truth. Swami, the title of today's show is Eliminating All Erroneous Beliefs. Well, it sounds like something we all need to do. Can you explain further for us?
Yeah, here we want to begin understanding life is purely spiritual, never in nor of matter. And this will become the foundation for eliminating false beliefs. We take the clue. What is seen with the mortal mind isn't there because it's blind to the invisible, intangible divine creation, which is the only thing that is here. This is something we've been working with in these shows, this idea of knowing the truth that makes us free, and it makes us free from the belief in anything the divine principle didn't create.
So you're saying the truth is to know God is all.
God is all, and all is good. Once you have established that, in the foreground of what we'll call your thinking, the next thing that we begin to work with here is the idea of separating the wheat from the tares. What this translates for me now is the difference between thinking with the five corporeal senses and knowing with your seven spiritual senses. To strengthen this point we're trying to make, I have something from Mary Baker Eddy, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 90, 24 to 32, and I'll read it. The admission to one's self that man is God's own likeness sets man free to master the infinite idea. This conviction shuts the door on death and opens it wide towards immortality. The understanding and recognition of spirit must finally come, and we may as well improve our time in solving the mysteries of being through an apprehension of divine principle. At present, we know not what man is, but we certainly shall know this when man reflects God. End of quote. For us to start to unbox what she's saying here, we really have to work with the idea of thinking differently. The biblical term, repent. The idea of stopping thinking with the five corporeal senses and starting to know with these seven spiritual senses. Mary Baker Eddy says, man is God's reflection. That's a very interesting term she uses, and what is meant by reflection. Until we really grasp that we cannot know the divine truth with the mind we're using to get us through this lifetime, we continue to make the same mistake. It's insanity. It's doing the same thing, expecting a different return. Once you open yourself up to this idea of challenging what you are experiencing through your corporeal senses, and then you take the time to figure out this idea of thinking differently using a tried and true system. It's one of the things we've been talking about, the difference between what Mary Baker Eddy calls prayer and Joel Goldsmith calls meditation, union with the divine, where the Bible says, ask in my name. It really means ask in my likeness. And until we are willing to let go of the belief that I can know this with this mortal mind, then we will continue to make the same erroneous mistake.
So I have a couple of questions for you about her quote that you just recited. And the first one is, can you explain to our listeners what she means by the infinite idea?
Yeah, she's talking about the divine idea, the divine creation, this parallel universe, the kingdom of heaven at hand. Now, that's the only reality. But for us to be conscious of it, we need the mind of Christ. Again, learning how to stop forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through the corporeal senses, and being born again of spirit, identifying with that which is invisible and intangible to the corporeal senses as your new source of sustenance. You now identify with the omnipresent spirit functioning everywhere always. Once you start to get a sense for the omnipresence of this principle, this law, that's when you rise above the influence of the material senses. So the infinite becomes very different than the finite. The finite is what appears in the corporeal senses. It's duality. It's divided. It's separate from the divine creation. And so when she talks about the infinite, when she talks about those seven words that she uses for God, she's talking about the absolute, spirit, everywhere, always, omnipresent.
And then my other curiosity was when she says, we may as well improve our time in solving the mysteries of being through an apprehension of divine principle. So can you explain further what that means? Are we talking about not just thinking, but knowing?
Well, yeah. You can't know the truth with the mortal mind. If you're not working with that, if you're not putting this in place, that's why in Kriya Yoga, we use the term meditate. Meditation, by definition, is the seventh stage of yoga. The fifth stage of yoga is pratyahara, sense withdrawal. So there's a process in development that takes place as we're starting to transcend the limits of duality, the limits of the mind-body complex, the false sense of existence, and we're becoming conscious of the invisible, intangible omnipresence.
And that's what she means when she said, man will reflect God?
Right. Like attracts like. We talk about the physics of spirituality. We're born in a material form. We're born in matter. And as long as we accept this as reality, we draw from duality, which is fear and limitation. Fear is the defense mechanism for the false sense of existence, instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. There are three modes of mortal thought we have to master, come out of. Instinct, appetite, this hypnotic state, animal magnetism, Mary Baker Eddy called it. Develop human intelligence, cultivating your mental functions, perception, reason, memory, intuition. And then we have to overcome the collective consciousness before we can walk reason through the open door of revelation. It's not just a declaration. You don't just declare, I'm spiritual. I'm the reflection of the divine. It's like you hear in these daily lives, we are all God's reflection. Well, that is true in the absolute. But by the same token, when we accept mortality, we are being individualized by the world mind. We have not been born again of spirit. And so as a result, we're under karmic law. We're living out from this false sense of existence, which is driven by a belief. The hypnotism of the mortal sense of life runs on the belief in two powers. Once we have overcome that, and we now accept the omnipresence of the one power, the divine principle, which is absolute goodness, eternal life, the changeless state of being. And for us to know that's the only reality, and again, the only way I can know that to be true is to have graduated and had this birth of Christ in consciousness, where I am no longer thinking with the five corporeal senses, but I have now activated spiritual sense. I know the truth that makes me free from the belief in mortality.
So you had said something earlier this morning, we were talking, and maybe we can dive a little bit deeper into that. You had said something, I'm paraphrasing, the more controlled the illusion, the stronger the trance. It sounds to me like the more embroiled we are in this mortal world, that's going to make it even harder for us to become one with the divine.
Yeah, this is what we talk about, trying to create a program. I talk about this sometimes. A friend of mine is a pilot, and we went to Mexico. He had this checklist for his plane. And before he would even start the plane, he would go through all of these things on the checklist. And I use, say, for example, the Divine Science Labyrinth, the Cretan Labyrinth, as a tool for me to go through these seven spiritual centers, these thought windows, for me to go through the 12 obstructions, the 12 divine gifts, in order for me to have an understanding of keeping myself pure of heart, not letting myself fall back into this belief in the finite mortal sense of life. And if you don't have this stuff in place, Paul would call this dying daily, to die daily. You die to the personal sense of I. But it's not just killing the false sense of self. At the same time, you want to accept your divine inheritance. You want to know the truth. There is one life, not no life, but one life, perfect, whole, complete, because that's what's going to make you free from the cycle of death and rebirth, the belief in two powers.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1. Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, May, I like a phrase that we have in the opening, divine self as the new frontier, with spiritual truth as the new goal. Let's talk about that a little bit further. What do we mean by the new frontier?
Yeah, for me, offense is always your best defense. To eliminate erroneous beliefs, you really want to affirm what is true and real. The divine creation, initially, you may believe there is a parallel universe functioning right here, right now, where everything is perfect, whole, complete. And when you're at the level of belief, you're on a level playing field because we believe in sickness, suffering, disease, lack, limitation. We believe in finite good. We believe in a temporary life. And for us to just eliminate these erroneous beliefs, you'll learn denial isn't dominion. To say and believe this mortal sense of life is real is the veil preventing visibility of what is real, which is the spiritual truth. Spirit, however, is a demonstrable principle. It's a law, and it testifies with deeds, not merely words. But to demonstrate divine law with scientific certainty, conscious awareness of divine truth is necessary. Thinking about it is not the same as conscious of it or knowing divine truth. These are the variables that we want to start to work with.
We have a writing here from Gilbert Carpenter, who wrote in 500 Watching Points. I think it would be a good time to discuss that. Would you read it for us?
Sure. Is it not error to cherish the notion that the ability to comprehend the deep things of God is a developed quality attained through study and application alone? True, such study and application are needed in order to know what it is that prevents students from expressing and voicing the mind that was in Christ Jesus, a thing divinely and scientifically natural to the one whose thought is freed from the influence of mortal mind. The student's higher task is to empty his thought so that the deep things of God may flow in. End of quote. Okay, now, to be able to stop thinking is what he's talking about here, to empty your thought. Stop forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through your material senses. Make your mind aware for the divine creation, which is right here, right now, functioning. But it is intangible and invisible to corporeal sense. So you're really making your mind aware for nothing, the void, the nothing out of which everything comes, pure consciousness, unadulterated, absolute divine truth. Then in silence and in stillness. Silence is the language of spirit. Stillness is the activity of spirit. You're creating a hospitable environment to invite divine truth into your awareness. In that silence and in that stillness, you watch, you wait, you listen, and you let. You're looking for the birth of Christ in consciousness. Christ is the saving aspect of truth. It's what's going to make the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. Without the Christ, there is no truth. There is no knowing of the truth. You will remain at the level of belief. Now, as your belief begins to graduate to faith, that is when you will start to reap the fruits of your meditation. You will begin to reflect the divine image and likeness and not the dualistic world concept about it. Remember, if you do things with your will, They could be done for good or for bad. But when divine mind takes over the scientific government of your being, things can only be done for absolute goodness, win-win for everyone involved. Now, what is appearing in your corporeal senses then becomes the monitor. It's the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness. You're using it to give you clues as to what you are conscious of. Am I sowing to the flesh, and am I externalizing a temporary sense of life, or am I sowing to the spirit and externalizing absolute eternal life?
So as you was talking about going over again that verse from John 1, 3-5 that we had said in the summary, I'll just say it again, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I think you're saying what we have to do is understand that what is outpicturing in our experience really is not what was made by the divine self.
Right. When you read Genesis 1, you find everything that is made by God is very good. God didn't make sickness, suffering, disease, lack, limitation. God did not make a temporary sense of life, a mortal body that can decay, grow old, die. Once we get out of these false beliefs and we open ourselves up to how things really work, then you have a divine principle. Now you start to see your belief in this divine creation and conscious awareness of it resolves things into thoughts, exchanges the objects of sense for the divine idea. This was the message of the Christ: heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. Jesus came to fulfill the law. The Pharisees didn't understand the law of Moses. They didn't get what God was trying to tell them. And so Jesus comes along and he says, this is divine law. It's right here, it's right now, and it's functioning. But we must be conscious of it. Coming back to what we say, ask in my name means ask in my likeness. It's really a trick question. If you know yourself to be perfect eternal spirit, nothing ever needs to be added to or taken away. You rest in the knowledge and accepting your infinite divine self as the only reality then begins to take care of what seemed to be a finite mortal sense of self.
And then I know we've been talking a lot about this concept of oneness, so it's not just this of ourselves, but everything and everyone around us, we are all one.
Right. You come out of the belief in the many. And again, it comes back to how we think is what we become. And to know the difference between thinking with the corporeal senses and knowing with the divine mind is the most important factor in eliminating error. The mortal mind can't bring forth the divine image, and ignorance of mortal or material sense is not an opposing power to divine truth. It's the absence of truth, and thinking, believing, is what creates the veil. So once you stop creating the obstruction, then you create the opportunity for the revelation, the illuminating of your thought with the divine idea. There are a lot of things that have to be in place for you to experience this, as opposed to just talking about it.
I think this is a good segue into this writings that we have from Joel Goldsmith from Realization of Oneness. Would you read that for us?
Many times, however, even after a student understands hypnotism to be operating as the suggestion or appearance, he still believes there is a real condition to be destroyed. That is when we hear such expressions as, "Look what hypnotism is doing to me." But hypnotism is not an actual thing or condition. Hypnotism cannot produce water on the desert or snakes in the flower pot. Hypnotism is itself no thing, no form, no cause, no effect. Recognizing any form or appearance of error as hypnotism and then dismissing it without any further concern is the correct way to handle all error. End of quote. All right, so here, the minute we react to what is appearing in the corporeal senses, we give it a life it doesn't have. It is not a self-existent power. It is not made by God. It's not backed by divine law. And so it is our belief that gives it the power. Now, once you know the truth, once you are living in the light of divine revelation, there is no hypnotism. You're no longer fooled by the images, the forms, the sights, sounds, smells. None of that is there anymore for you. What you see is the divine creation, the perfection of being. And when you rest in the knowledge, you start to see this outside world is a mental image. But the more divinely mental, the more harmonious and indestructible it will appear.
By being that way, some people might think people on the spiritual path are no longer empathetic. What would you say about that thought?
On the surface, it would appear that way. Because if you're not reacting to the testimony of the corporeal senses and you're not running out to help people, then of course you appear to be uncaring, unconcerned, like you say, unsympathetic, not compassionate. That's why Mary Baker Eddy created Christian Science. Christian Science is the application of divine science. Christian Science is not to be talked about, but it is a demonstrable principle. Just like Jesus would heal the sick. My favorite story is the man at the sheep pool at Bethesda, where he says, "Wilt thou be whole? Rise, pick up your bed and walk." Now, of course, you don't run around and you try and heal everybody that's around, but if you have permission, this idea of seeing the truth of being and revealing that to someone is, I want to say, the best gift you could give to anyone. That's why when Mary Baker Eddy was on the planet, Christian Science was the fastest growing organization in the world, because she would heal somebody and then they wanted to know what happened. My experience with Christian Science today is you go to a lecture and you're not walking away with what happened, you're walking away with what you heard, which is very different, which means her biggest fear that they would lose her discovery is really starting to rear its ugly head.
I think there's one thing that Jesus did that it's a really eye-opener for me, and we talked about this the other day, and that was when he never rallied against the Romans. So I learned a lot from that, because he didn't get caught up into that we must destroy the Romans. We have to do this and do this for our own freedom. And so I look at that and I say, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to look at what's around us and say, this isn't real either.
Resist not evil is the way that we should go about it. Know the truth, though. Not just deny the testimony of the senses, but to affirm the truth, to live and move and have your being in divine truth and conscious awareness of that and externalize the divine image and likeness. That's what we're talking about.
Well, that ends our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, when you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can press to further your understanding. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kri Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and know the truth. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga realization. Namaste.